Read about those two women. They were screaming. The two women with Solomon were prostitutes. Yeah. They had, you know, they had babies about 3 days apart in one house. And so there was the old switcheroo. In 2 Kings chapter 6, it was the old eateroo. Lady said, you eat yours today and we eat mine tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah. So we get that right. Yeah. Hallelujah. Last week, we talked about being fit for heaven. Yes. And we tried to, in the short spurt that we had last Sunday, show the Holy Spirit's work in our life. Men, I want to tell you that we had a blowout win. We had a blowout in here Friday night. The glory of God filled this place. Yeah, it was glorious. The worship was magnificent. Amen. You know, when the worship is magnificent, the word is just ushered in. Yes. And so we bless the Lord for Pastor Hines and Minister Boone and all the men that gathered. It was just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful sensing of the power of God in this place. And so I want to encourage you, men. Hey. One of these days, heaven going to drop the bomb. Don't want you to miss the bomb. You know, we're going to put out a sign whenever we have the week of our men's gatherings, we're going to put a sign out inside in front and going to say that God makes men here. Amen. Every Friday night. But it's only going to be on that Friday that we will gather, but it will be out there. So that men driving by, men walking by, you know, we'll come in here, and we don't want anybody to miss the move of God. It was just too awesome. It was just too awesome. I mean, it's you can't explain it, you know, unless you're in the realm of it. Yes. And it was just a whoo-wee. It was something else. And so I encourage you, men, eat after, you know. A lot of us were here, and the statement was made, how many of you sometimes on occasion feel like you can't make it, but you push through anyhow? You know, and all of us say, I feel like that sometimes. You know, so all of us feel like that. We all have issues of the heart and the matters of the flesh, but sometimes you got to take that flesh and say, down, boy. See, you got to show who's in control. Inside man got the run of the show. Amen. Hallelujah. So we talked about last week, we talked about being fit for heaven. And so we want to return back to Revelation 4, and we're going to take up in verse 4. Amen. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. Can you picture that? Picture 4 beasts full of eyes. Before and behind. So they're just eyes, covered with eyes. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, you said if we would read this word, you said we would be blessed. And not only would we be blessed by reading it, you said we would be blessed hearing it. And so we thank you for the opportunity, Lord God, to receive your blessing and obedience to your call on our lives. We thank you, Father, that every life in here will be touched. Thank you that this is a day that you've made. It's a day we've never experienced. It is a great day. And we thank you for what you begin to release on us and through us and to us on this great day. We give you praise. We thank you for the healing of our bodies, nurturing of our spirits, freedom of our mindsets. We thank you, Lord God, that we're blessed today because this is the day you've made. We rejoice and we're glad in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, we can never overemphasize the statements that were made concerning the throne that John saw in heaven. I want to draw attention to the first verse of this chapter. We didn't dwell on this long at all last time we talked about it, but I want to say this, that the first thing that it says in the first verse is after this. And I made a statement that as we talked about the seven churches and the things that were mentioned in the first three chapters, but I want to interject this, that when he uses the term after this, it could pretty much be equated with after the rapture. After this. Amen. After the rapture. This is what he may be saying. After this. After the rapture. Because what you will find is that in the first three chapters of Revelation, the word church or churches occurs about 20 times. However, beginning with chapter 4 up to chapter 22, verse 17, the church is not mentioned one time. The church has no part in the prophetic vision given to John after chapter 3. Why? The church is in the air. He's talking about things that's happening on earth in the first three chapters. He don't talk about the church in chapter 4. The church is gone. It's in the air. Sometimes, you know, Zach comes home. He's done this a couple of times. Zach come home, and he may see our clothes laying on the floor. Zach check every room. No man, and I, we sitting back laughing. Zach said, "I just want to make sure y'all didn't go nowhere." Make sure. Have mercy. Mm-mm-mm. Lord, have mercy. The church is in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, "For the Lord himself," 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up," or rapture. See, when you look for the word rapture, you won't find it in the Bible. But the word caught up is used. So, you know, you can insert that as the word that means the same thing. Rapture. We shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We mentioned, and this really got me, because we mentioned the central object of heaven. And I just believe that the central object of heaven is the throne of God. Between chapter 4 and 5, it is mentioned 18 times. And we said how many times it was approximately mentioned through the whole book of Revelation. That's not to count all the times it's mentioned in the Bible. But when you think of the throne of God, You have to really open yourself up to everything that God is coming from the throne, emanating from the throne. All his creatorial ability flows from the throne. His omniscience flows from the throne. All his power, power unbridled, the ability to keep things in order, to hold universes and galaxies in their proper places, that power flows from the throne. The throne of God. And we mentioned what John saw the last time when he saw the throne. And we said that God is so intrinsically tied to his throne that you can see that the power comes from the throne and it comes from God, so that it's not only the throne, but God is the throne. That's the power of the central location of everything that's in existence. Everything that's in existence owes its standard, its stature, its position, its life. It owes it to the power that flows from the throne of God. And I said last time that we gathered together that I may have gotten under your skin, because we've become so accustomed to hearing people say, man, when I get to heaven, the first person I want to see is Jesus. How you know? See, it's easy to say stuff, especially when we hear other people say it. And when we hear other people say things, it's easier for us to say them. Flow right off of our lips. And if someone would ask you, where you get that from? I heard somebody say it. For so long, all my life, I heard people say, you know, the God said that cleanliness is next to godliness. I got saved and I looked for that. I just got saved. I didn't get saved for that. But when I got saved, I wanted to find that. It's not in the Bible. You know, the Bible says if you take one step, God take two. Mighty clouds of joy. Mighty clouds. And so, you know, our deep yearning, let me say that our deep, deep, deep yearning is to see Jesus. The one who died for me. That's our deep yearning. But because our yearning is deep, that doesn't mean that's what's going to happen. There are so many things that you're probably going to see first. There's so many things you're going to see when we get there. In the back of some of our minds, it's my sister. It's my brother. It is such an overwhelming place. Those thoughts may not come until after we've been there for a minute, because of the awesomeness of where we're going. And someone said, well, Jesus is the centerpiece of heaven. Jesus is the king. We don't want to take anything away from his kingship. He's the ruler of everything. But there's a God that sits on the throne. And he has to be someone that Jesus refers to. When you pray, say, our Father. There has to be something, someone that overrides everything in creation. And he sits on a throne. And to let you know, the power of the throne, everything in heaven bows to it. Everything in heaven bows to the throne. And he who sits on it.
Amen.
We said before now, because we get to chapter 5, but the Bible already tells us in earlier scriptures that the spirits are before the throne. We're going to see a few more things about that in a minute, but the spirits are before the throne. The omnipotent God sits on the throne.
Yes, sir.
And in chapter 5, we'll see the Lamb approach the throne. That's the triune God. That's the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That's what we see.
Yes.
Jesus, when he ascended unto heaven, he said, I'll be seated at the right hand of my Father. See, there's not just one. There is the throne, but it's not the only throne. Where all power emanates from all the creatorial aspect, when everything existing in this universe, in this world as we know it, as far as our minds can wrap ourselves around it, everything that's out there that we know nothing of emanates from the throne. Life comes from the throne. That's why it's surrounded by a green rainbow representing mercy and life. And I want to tell you that the rainbow is standing vertically. God Almighty. See, it's easy to look down here and see a rainbow in the distance that does that.
Yes.
And we ride by and say, oh, that's a lovely sight. And the closer you get, the bigger it gets. Oh, look at that. Some people made such a thing of it, then now they tell you that at the end of the rainbow, you might find a pot of gold.
Yes, sir.
That's how glorious it is. But to see an uninterrupted rainbow,
wow,
circular, vertical, one color, like an emerald. An emerald is a precious jewel.
Yes, sir.
If you had an emerald in your head right now, you'd probably say, man, I've never seen a green like this. Wow. Never seen a green like this. But we'll be able to see the whole thing because heaven is transparent. It's not going to be gold walls, gold streets that you can't see through. This is pure gold that you'll look right through. What a wonderful city. Somebody read the Bible and wrote the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
And put in it called an Emerald City. You'd be surprised how many people write these wonderful books and read the Bible.
Amen.
Getting ideas. But to see, yeah, so beautiful. There's something so beautiful as that. And the throne sits right in. Now, as you read these scriptures, you'll see things that your mind can't figure out. Because what we just read, eyes, front, back, covered with eyes. Then they said more about the beast, said there's eyes inside. We want to see a little bit of what that means, but we are on a journey now. I want you to understand we are observing heaven in its finest state where we are right now. We're there. And as we get closer and closer, we'll start seeing so many things. Things that represent Christ, things that represent earth, things that represent people. Saying that represent judgment, peace. We'll see that. Glory to God. Everything in heaven that worships before the throne. Verse 4. The Greek for seats is thrones. So there are 24 thrones. See, I want you to get that because you get the picture that there's. And it's just like a lot of the holograms we see, or you might see in some other religious organizations. They try to do a picture. They do that a lot in the Jehovah's Witness program. They show you a lot of pictures, and the pictures are great pictures. You know, they do wonderfully with what they project heaven and visions are supposed to look like. They almost do them exactly like what they're spoken of is in the Bible, but it's hard to put down on paper what you're reading here. Because somewhere you'll get lost. You know, you'll get lost. You'll get lost trying to draw eyes and still try to find a creature in the midst of it, and then try to define the shape of it, and can say that the first beast was a lion. It is hard to do that. And so what we do is we just do what the Bible tells us. Read it, be blessed by it, Holy Spirit will give you understanding.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 24 thrones occupied by 24 elders. The question is, who are these elders? It's a mystery to almost everybody who these elders are. One long belief was that they were angels. That was disproved. And you can just disprove that just by reading the Bible. As you read chapter 5, 6, and 7, you'll read a little bit more about these elders. But I want to say to you, this is what I believe that they are. I believe that these 24 elders represent the church and the nation of Israel. I say the church, but I say that it can be representative of the 12 apostles. As far as the nation of Israel is concerned, it can be seen as the 12 tribes. They all are significant in that they represent the whole body of Christ. These are men, because it tells us that these men had on white robes. White robes speaks of victory. The crowns on their heads. We went through the crowns when we first opened this book, and we mentioned the different crowns. These are wearing the crowns of glory, the crowns of life, which means they went through something.
Amen.
To get these crowns. Angels don't have to go through anything. Angels don't wear crowns.
Hallelujah.
Angels don't have thrones.
Hallelujah.
I'm pretty sure the angels... angels may have been created the first day when God created everything here. He may have, on the first day, created angels before he did anything. I believe that angels are part of the galactic makeup. That when God was making that, he had angels. Giving them authority, giving them roles, giving them rank. Angels have rank. Fallen angels have rank too. That's why they can't let them go. They still hold on to their rank. If they were a general in heaven, when they got kicked out, they still kept the general. They kept their badges. The reason I say that is because Satan might have been a head angel in heaven as Lucifer, but he did not lose his rank when he got kicked out. He just lost his place. The reason I say he did not lose his rank is because once particular angel said that he dared not bring a railing against him.
Right.
That was Michael.
Yes.
Michael was still in his position. He was still operating out of heaven. Satan has fallen. But he dared not even make mention of a bad word against him simply because of his rank. In most of your companies, in most of your businesses, even in the military, a lower officer very seldom will make a bad statement about a higher officer. Very rare. Unless he's in the bathroom talking to himself. Oh, he make me sick. I can't stand it, so-and-so. As soon as he come out the bathroom, the first thing he says, sir. That is not the way protocol is operated, you know. And even on certain jobs. That's why certain jobs have managers, and managers seem to stick together. Even they don't agree with one another. They would rather fight it out with you than to disagree with their manager. See, that's the way that is. And so Satan hasn't really lost his rank. He lost his authority, lost his place, but he hadn't lost his rank. He's still a top dog as far as fallen angels are concerned. Even angels that have not fallen still don't bring railing against him. They still know who he is or was. And so these 24 elders can't be angels. But when we look at their makeup, the beasts that they are supposed to be, we will get there in a minute. Now, when you talk about these crowns and these 24 elders. Look in Revelation chapter 5. We're going to sneak up there for a minute and come right back. Look in Revelation 5 and 9. Because these 24 elders, it's an amazing thing to what they're going to be doing. They're going to be singing praises alongside the living creatures. Yeah. See, because everything in heaven has to worship before the throne. Y'all don't start reading about the book. I see you. Verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, they singing, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation." Now, they say it in this particular scripture that thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Now, you can't redeem angels. So these are men, representative of the church and the nation of Israel. They are the redeemed of the Lord. And so we see them singing praises. We see them wearing crowns, wearing robes of victory. What victory has an angel wrought? Only the redeemed of the Lord can say so. Amen. Amen. Let's go back to chapter 4. You say they represent Israel and the church. Well, you remember when Jesus Christ was prophesied of, and it said that the government would be on his shoulders.
Amen.
See, these 24 elders also represent the government of God. 12 is the number of government. But they represent God's governmental authority. And that's why they're around the throne. What you see around the throne a lot of times often speaks of the authority of God, the character of God, the person of God, his nature. That's why you can see the Holy Spirit before the throne. We'll see that. Glory to God. Now, he says in chapter 4, verse 5, "And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." Now, out of the throne proceeding lightnings and thunderings, and sometimes it says lightnings, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Well, when you hear lightning and thunder, what do you think of? Lightnings and thunders. Well, I mean, don't get religious. Plain and simple, a storm. Y'all always trying to get saved on me. You know good and well when you get ready to get out the house and it's thunder and lightning, you don't think about no help.
Okay. I got my umbrella in the car.
First thing you think about is the umbrella. I need an umbrella. Well, it speaks of a storm. It speaks of a storm coming. You see? Is everybody all right? But that's the first thing you think. You say, well, either it's going to rain, it's going to be a storm.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, these thunderings and lightnings speak of a storm that's coming. You see? Remember when Moses went up to Mount Sinai, he experienced this. Storm was coming. Well, because we are in a place where judgment is preparing itself, these signs speak of the coming judgment. It speaks of, see, what not only does love empower and I told you everything emanates from the throne. Tribulation comes from the throne. That's coming from the throne.
Amen.
See? And I want you to think that tribulations come because of what one man down here did, or two or three men. Tribulation comes from the throne because God said it would. And he's not a man that he will lie.
Amen.
So tribulation also has to come from that place. But God is so merciful that he has to have warnings. And so thunderings and lightnings speak to us of the storm that is to come. That's what, see, we're basically in, if you can compartmentalize this, we're basically in the judgment hall right now. All that John is seeing is basically in the judgment hall. He said things which are to be. And so these thunderings and lightnings speak of the judgment that is about to come upon the earth. Tribulation will flow from the throne. And then he says, before the throne, seven spirits or seven lamps blazing. We mentioned this in the first chapter when we were in the first chapter, that these seven spirits represent the Holy Spirit in his fullness. The fullness of the Holy Spirit. That means that this seven, which is the number of completion, the number of perfection, we see the Holy Spirit in all of his completeness and all of his perfection, and we see him in the fruit of the Spirit. We see all that he is right here. And go to Isaiah chapter 11. Well, we want to understand that all of this, not a separate part. And when we talk about the seven spirits, I want to tell you that the seven only speaks of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that there are seven spirits. It means that there are seven characteristics of the one Holy Spirit. Once we get in this, you begin to see that the book of Revelation not as hard as we thought. God didn't intend us to have something to read that would be hard, difficult to understand, or afraid of. No. He said if you read it, you'll be blessed by it. Mm-hmm. He only speaks that of this book. I know I'm blessed by all of the pages, but God specifically said, if this book is read aloud and heard aloud, blessed is the reader, blessed is the hearer. Hallelujah. Glory to God, it's a glorious day. You got to believe that you're getting something out of God. It's not church as usual. Isaiah chapter 11. Let's look in verse 2. Got all kinds of stuff up here. And I'm using all of it. Hallelujah. Long as I can.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now listen. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Listen to these seven spirits. The Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel and might, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Now listen, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Now, let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Remember, that's the Holy Spirit in his fullness.
Amen.
Tell you what the real catch is. We're supposed to have all of these operating in us. All of these. Verse 22. When you put all these together, you have to imagine to yourself, how in the world can I ever be defeated?
Yes.
How can I ever be defeated? Get this in your spirit. How can I ever be defeated? But the fruit of the Spirit is love,
yes,
joy,
yes,
peace,
yes,
long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Verse 25, if we live, see that brother covered this stuff so wonderfully the other night. I'm scared to touch it. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, with all of these graces that come and are affordable and afforded to us by the Holy Spirit, how can we be defeated? How can we be defeated? When we have the Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of power, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. My goodness. All of these are intrinsically tied together. They got a special chapter just on love by itself. If we can walk in just that one chapter. If you can just walk in that one chapter on love. But God doesn't limit us to just that. He calls it the fruit of the Spirit. All of this operating in our life. And you might say, that's too much for me. No, it's not. That's what's been afforded to us. It's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, thank you for giving. Because they've already been given.
Yes.
What you say? Finished work?
Yes, sir.
When Jesus said it is finished,
yes,
everything is done.
Yes.
He completed everything.
Yes,
that means this.
Yes,
every grace of the Holy Spirit is already done.
Yes.
Already yours and mine.
Yes.
And because he's at the throne, he's showing us he's giving it in fullness. Oh, I need a cleansing. I need to be cleansed out of a whole lot of stuff.
Yes.
To be able to incorporate this in my life.
Yes.
There's a lot. We said last week, you got to learn how to lay aside the weight.
Yes.
I got to lay aside some stuff.
Yes.
To be indwelt by this.
Yes.
To get all of this operating in my life.
Yes.
The world system couldn't touch you. If you walked in this, you wouldn't even be worried about how you look to others because that'd be so far away from your mind. You wouldn't have time to think about it. See? And this spirit, these seven spirits are before the throne. When we are filled with the Spirit, these characteristics should be as much a part of us as the fruit of the Spirit operating together. Good Lord have mercy. We're in heaven seeing all of this. See, I tell you what, there's going to come a time when it says that he'll wipe every tear. I don't think that he's wiping tears coming from earth. I think he's wiping tears as we're in heaven, seeing that this is what we're supposed to have. This is the power you said. This is what Jesus meant when he said, greater work shall you do. See, it's easy to say it, but you can't say it being an empty vessel. You can't do greater works with an empty vessel. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The vessels that we parade in had to be filled with something. Be filled, the Bible tells us. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? So that means it's not just some ethereal feeling or some floating, euphoric feeling that we get. It's being filled with substance. Substance, powerful substance. Powerful substance. Powerful substance. If I just operated in one for an hour, is everything okay? In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. And so, we see all of these things that's supposed to be, you know, just listen. If I just had love working. If I just had my joy working. Peace. I need long suffering Monday through Friday. Lord Jesus. I need some long suffering. These folk about to get on my nerve. See, but when you got it functioning, operating in your life, you don't even think about it. You see? That's how we break off the mind of Christ and operate in it, because these fruit are operating in our life as we allow them. We said this morning, we are responsible. There are some things we are responsible for. And we are responsible for what goes in and what comes out.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But to walk in these, to be in one accord with the Holy Spirit. Gosh, temperance, meekness, goodness. I mean, just be honest. How many of us have ever walked in a full-fledged balance of goodness? See what I mean? To be able to walk in that? In the name of Jesus, we proclaim victory. We always do. We proclaim victory in Jesus' name. And so we need to learn how to walk in that. The next thing we see operating in these graces of God, you know, we have these characteristics, and I love the term characteristics because it displays the character that God wants us to have. See, this character that we're seeing with the fruit operating as they operate are the same characteristics that operated in Jesus. See, Jesus operated in this in fullness. My God! A man walking in the fullness of these characteristics. Jesus had these working in him on a regular basis. Lord have mercy. See, so we're supposed to, he said, greater works shall ye do. And we're just thankful. Now, what does it say in Revelation? The next verse. After being in a position to see these seven spirits before the throne. It says also before the throne, there's a sea of glass. You got to wrap your mind around this beautiful place. Now, everything is transparent. But right before, you see a sea of glass. He didn't say it's made out of glass, but it's a sea like glass. You can see through it. But more than anything else, it speaks of the peace and the stability that exists in heaven. What do we notice? That there is an absence of wind blowing. Oh, we saw and heard some thunderings and some lightnings. But that's in preparation for the judgment that's about to come. But when you talk about heaven itself, it's the peace that flows like a river. And it says sea of glass, meaning that there is never any turmoil. There is nothing in heaven to make waves. Waves always speaks of tumult. Things are not right when the winds are blowing and the waves are whipping and beating up against the shore. That speaks of not peace and stability. That's a piece of tumult. But in heaven, there's a sea of glass. Remember, as this was spoken of by the Holy Spirit in the 23rd Psalm, it says, he speaks of, what did he say?
Still waters.
Now, it's still waters. That means exactly what it says. Still waters. Not going left or right. Peace. When peace like a river. Attendeth my soul. God Almighty. See, it's just there. It's a sea of glass before the throne. Speaks of the peace that exists in heaven. There is no disruption. With all that's flowing from the throne, all the power, all the exuding creatorial ability of God, with everything being held in motion, he upholds all things by the word of his power, and all his power is flowing freely, yet there's peace. Only God could do that. See, you got to remember, this is God's house. Have mercy. You going, God's house, ain't no children that tearing up the furniture. Nobody in heaven said, sit down. Get down from there. Don't make me come down there. You don't hear none of that. Peace in heaven. And we basically, you know, there's a lot more to be seen, but because we're basically just in the judgment room. We ain't been in the living room yet. Huh? That's where we are. And he sees the sea of glass. John is captivated because John is in the spirit. John is having an out-of-body experience. John, the man, is not in heaven. John's spirit is in heaven. Anybody had out-of-body experience? Except me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Haven't you been able to look down on your sleeping body? I saw me. Saw me. See, so it's that kind of experience. John is out of the body. And he's sitting there just like Paul was. Paul was out of the body and saw his own body. But we hear by the Spirit that John said he was in the Spirit. And immediately he was in heaven. Heaven is not across the street. It's always up. But it's just like being right where you are. You can go from here to heaven just like that. No long journey. God doesn't have to take you on no long journey. Wind blowing through your hair, and by the time you get there, you finally get some senses. You're there just like that. In the spirit. Yeah. And so he sees the sea of glass. And now, he says, in the midst of the throne, and look what it, look what he says. And before the throne was the sea of glass like unto crystal. Wow. Crystal. Crystal is what? See-through, isn't it? And then that's why, you know, in heaven, I know I've been over this before. That's why in heaven, nobody will ever drown. There'll be children and everybody swimming. Mm-hmm. Nobody will ever drown. You will have equipment. I said this. That, see, we operate by our senses, but we're going to become one sense. It won't be a mixture of senses. Mm-hmm. One sense, a sensitivity to God in a glorified body, in a perfect glorified body. So you'll be able to dive and keep diving. Dive and keep diving. Swim and don't worry about inhaling water. Won't happen. My body's glorified. The Bible tells us that as Jesus is, that's what we're going to be like. We're told that when he got hungry, he ate.
Yeah, amen.
Said that when they wouldn't open the door for him, he walked through it. Them jokers inside were scared.
Yes, sir.
Who is it? Jesus. Uh-uh. No. Ain't open it. Ain't. Mm-mm. No, sir. Jesus, while they were discussing it, yes. While they were trying to discuss it,
yes.
And try to find out who will open the door, who will look out the window. Bible said Jesus walked right through the door on them.
Yes, sir.
See? You got to have high expectations. Stop looking at television. You guys, it's not going to be like TV. TV cannot comprehend the way that this is going to happen. No. These 24 elders, I know they're men because you know what the Bible says about them? It says that they cry out, how long? How long are we going to have to be like this? See? Because there is a glorified body to be had. Oh, yeah. Jesus, I go prepare a place for you. You got to have a body to fit the place that you're going to. Men on earth need a space suit to go up in this space. You need a brand new space suit body to go to where you're going. Heaven. Oh, dear God. Okay, let's hurry because I don't want you to miss this. We see not only the sea of glass. Now, here we go. It says, and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion. The second beast like a calf. Third beast had a face as a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Now, the four creatures or beasts are worshipped with the 24 elders. They worship together. The reason that this is coming together like this is that something is about to be realized. Some things that were mentioned on earth, you must understand that there are things that are mentioned on earth that will become realized in heaven. A whole lot of what the Bible that you read are situations that will not occur until either the tribulation or the millennium. When you read scriptures and said that the earth will be covered with the knowledge of God like waters cover the sea, that won't happen until after tribulation. That'll be the millennium. Sometimes we put those scriptures in the here and now, but that won't happen here and now. No. That's perfection. And nothing will be perfect here until the New Jerusalem is brought down. So wisdom won't cover the waters, cover the earth like waters cover the sea. Knowledge and all of it will not happen until after everything is taken care of. There are a lot of things that will not occur until the tribulation or the millennium. And that's just the truth of the matter. That's why we're encouraged to live right while we have the opportunity, while we get a chance. Something is about to be realized. Go to Romans 8:20. Listen to this. Y'all gonna give me about 5 more minutes?
Thank you, sir.
We want to get the book of Revelation down in our spirit so we can read the rest of the Bible better with understanding. That now I can read the Bible better now that I understand how things going to be. I understand that. And so that's what we want to do. Romans 8, to me, one of the best chapters in the Bible. You said 6 the other night. Probably be 10 tomorrow. All of it's good. Yes, sir. Now listen, in verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, yes, which have the first fruit of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, yes, the redemption of our body. See, my spirit is redeemed.
Yes.
Not my flesh. That I don't have that yet, but we groan. We groan inside waiting for the redemption of our body. Right. We groan waiting for the new one.
Yes.
You see? And even creation groans.
Yes.
Because creation knows that when we change, it changes. Glory to God. God is going to actually take the curse off this earth.
Yes. Amen.
That's what's going to happen. He's going to remove the curse.
Jesus.
Groaneth. Creation groans. Every time you see a volcano, it's groaning. Every tidal wave, every tsunami, because the earth is groaning, waiting for the sons of God take their rightful place. Huh? That's what this is all about. So we'll see that realized. And right now, what we're gazing at, just like if you read, write this down. You'll write this down in Ezekiel chapter 10. Ezekiel chapter 10 and Isaiah chapter 6. And in Ezekiel, they're called cherubim. And in Isaiah, they're called seraphim. These are high-level angels. These are top-notch angels. Cherubim and seraphim. And you'll see that they are connected to these four living creatures. So these living creatures are cherubim and seraphim. And what these cherubim and seraphim are doing are representing the characteristics of God. The eyes represent his all-seeing and all-knowing omniscience. You see that these high-ranking angels, their appearance speaks of Christ. The many eyes speaks of the all-knowing, all-seeing God. Now that we move away from the throne, we can show you the authority that Jesus Christ reigns with when you see these living creatures, because they are speaking of him. They're not speaking of the throne. They worship before the throne, but they're representing the Son. The authority is not that far apart, because we understand that all three of the triune Godhead are equal in everything that they do, except in that particular office that they operated in. The Lord our God is one.
Yes.
Now, first he said, we're going to close. First he said, one was like a lion. Okay? When you think of the lion, you equate it with the book of Matthew. Matthew speaks of him as the King, speaks of his sovereignty. That's one of the living creatures speaking about him. Then it talks about the calf. The calf is represented by the Gospel of Mark. Speaks of him as a servant. See, a calf does nothing more than carry heavy loads, heavy burdens. He's a servant. Jesus is. He's a servant. This speaks of his humility. Then you say he has the face of a man. This is Luke. Luke proclaims him as the Son of Man. Speaks of his humanity. Sovereignty, humility, humanity. And I don't know if many of you remember, I hope you remember that when you read the book of John, we say it's like we don't ride in a car. You're in an airplane when you read the Gospel of John. Remember saying that, Roy? You're in an airplane looking down when you're in the Gospel of John. But that's why John, the eagle is attributed to John. This high-flying specimen. An eagle is represented by the Gospel of John. And And by the Gospel of John, we see him as the Son of God, which speaks of his divinity. The lion, the calf, man, eagle. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. King, servant, son of man, son of God. Sovereignty, humility, humanity, divinity. These four living creatures, they're representing Jesus. God Almighty. Whoo. Around the throne. See, then that's what they're preparing us for. They're preparing us for next week. Preparing us for next week. Because next week we see somebody coming up to the throne.
Oh,
hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Are we going somewhere?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We are thankful for this day.